Kia ora and welcome to this episode of Around the Fire, where I'm going to be talking and sharing some thoughts from The Pathway to Belonging. And it's a model, if you like, it's a framework, guide, a map that can really help us to understand what's going on for ourselves and take that healing journey back to our true self to really connect back with who we were put on the planet to be. And although it's stages, and although if you have a look at the visual, it's very much sort of a linear feel to it, it's recognizing that we are going to be up and down this pathway, that, you know, there might be some stages that we spend a bit of time at and working on and working through some stuff. But I would love it to be, here's 8 stages, work from the beginning and work your way through, and boom, when you get to the end, you'll have made it and you'll be fixed and all the rest of it. The healing journey is not quite that straightforward. But I have this beautiful image in my head of all of us up and down this pathway at different stages, high-fiving, spending some of the time at a stage, maybe with somebody else on their journey. And when we can offer ourselves that compassion of actually, I was doing really well, but now something else has come into the mix. Okay, let's navigate this. What do I need? What are the tools? Where to from here? And so kicking off, the very first stage is about realizing. It's about when different times of our life. I was talking about this with a couple of friends recently, and it's like, what is it that makes us go, actually, something else? I want something else. I want something to change. I want something to be different. I want something more out of my life. And we were talking about how these sort of seeds of inspiration, seeds of change, can come from all sorts of different places. And there was a trailer recently for a movie that I saw that I had a massive piece of clarity from. There was something else on my wall that's been on my wall or in a book or in my life, a magazine cutout for probably about 8 years now. But when I was having some insomniac moments this week, I had a look at it again. It just caught my eye and I was like, oh my goodness, I just so see that in a different light, or it might be something on a billboard or, a Disney movie or something that we read in a book or something that someone said or something that we hear, and these little seeds just sort of mount up and it's just like, okay, I'm getting a message here. Actually, I want something to change. Or it might be that the realizing stage is a big wham bam in our face moment and we go, okay, I'm listening, something's got to change, I want something to change, whatever we might be experiencing. And so just recognizing that it can look like different things. Sometimes it is that sort of wham bam, and then other times, it can take us a little while for us to see that we want something to be different. And sometimes it might be hearing somebody else's story and actually hearing what might be possible. And as I say, we go up and down this pathway. And so, yes, there's the realizing stage at the beginning of I want change. But also as we go through the journey, we might realize that there's something else that we're settling for or another sort of area of our life that we want to work on and get some clues around. And so, again, just, that being open, I think that's really key with this stage of, sort of realizing, being open, not beating ourselves up that we haven't done it before or worked it out sooner or whatever else, but just a real sort of open-hearted place. And then the next stage is actually the doing something about it. So it's about the responding, what are the steps that we're going to take to, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're already taking them. What are the steps that we're going to take from here? Okay, so we've realised something's wanting to change. What's the next step? And we don't always have to know, the destination, where we're going, all that. We don't have to have that figured out yet. Sometimes it's just about taking some of those first steps. And that might be, getting some support. It might be signing up for a program. It might be going to a workshop, speaking to a friend, phoning a helpline. some action step around, yeah, actually, I'm going to make some changes. And then the recognizing stage holds so many clues and so much relief and release. So it's really around getting more understanding about what's going on for us. So particularly around sort of feelings and emotions, what is playing out? What are the effects that thoughts have on our world and what can we do about them? And this stage is very much around, yeah, that process of emotions, you know, giving ourselves permission, giving ourselves space, being courageous to actually feel. When I gave up alcohol, I had to learn to feel. I think up to that point, I had good and sad were my two emotions and, yeah, not a lot else. And giving up alcohol, I was like, oh, what's this? And not just the uncomfortable red zone feelings, I call them, but also green zone ones too. Just, you know, really getting the whole spectrum of colour and different feelings. And it can be really daunting and if not terrifying to begin with. It's just like, jeepers, what is this? You know, or yeah, why can't I just go back to, for me, it was like, go back to drinking and then I don't have to feel it. But it's, you know, when we can actually start to recognize the clues that our emotions bring, then it's just like, oh wow, let's just work with these and, you know, allow them to pass through. So yeah, recognizing what's going on for us, really bringing some key parts of the puzzle into the mix. And then also, yeah, another key part of this stage is releasing. So, you know, in our modern world, we're often sort of hear the message of suck it up, get on with it. You know, haven't you got over it by now? Haven't you dealt with it? And we can end up pushing things back down again. And especially, you know, if they are uncomfortable, we may not want to go there. But, you know, that releasing stage, it's a natural part of us being a human, being an animal. Animals do it really well in the world and they shake it off. And we need to find our ways to allow and help these emotions to move through. And sometimes when we've done that, actually it's pretty exhausting. And the next stage is around resting. And as I say, these stages aren't linear, but it's just a real key point to remember that, yeah, that releasing or the recognizing and releasing, yeah, can be quite full on. And so that's why resting sits beautifully afterwards. Just to remind us that, you know, if we think about all that energy and emotions and that's been trapped in our body, if we haven't been able to process emotions and feelings, then, yeah, you know, it's going to be pretty exhausting when that starts to shift again. But aside from that, actually resting needs to be in our healing journey. We can be, you know, just like with any other way of sort of burning out, you know, do, whether that's through work or through other commitments and responsibilities. And actually, we need to bring rest in. Not just rest in so that we can do more again, top up the tanks to do, but actually just resting for resting. That, you know, it is about that being a human and a human being. So yeah, that balance between life of the being and the doing. And absolutely, you know, I've struggled with burnout and there's been times in my life where, well, I haven't been a quick learner with burnout. And so certainly experienced it more than once. And yeah, it's a really tough place to be. Literally, you know, you feel like you've got nothing left, nothing to give anybody. And so, yeah, we want to make sure that we're not just resting so that we can do and do more, but actually it's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place that holds wisdom, it holds intuition, it holds creativity, it holds ideas, it holds peace, it holds serenity, it holds calm. So, yeah, you know, bringing that into our world and, as I say, giving ourselves permission to do that. Then we have the reconnecting stage, and that's really that focusing on our values and what's important to us, focusing on connecting to others, connecting to nature, connecting to our hobbies, passions and interests, because often when we're struggling, they can be some of the first things to go, some of the first things out the window. And I often come back to a Buddhist saying that says, meditate for 5 minutes every day, or when you're busy, meditate for 20. And whether meditation's your thing or not, it's that idea of, you know, actually remaining connected with what's good for us, and potentially even doing it more often when, you know, they're often likely to slip. And reconnecting is a beautiful stage of, again, you know, finding different parts of us and bringing in some of that community and belonging and inclusion and acceptance. So, yeah, and with that, you know, core values are a really key part of that stage of finding out who we are. I describe core values as the backbone of our soul. And it can be, a beautiful exercise to find out more about ourselves. It can be confronting sometimes, more about ourselves and, yeah, give us some clues really quite quickly as to who we are, how we want to be showing up, what's important to us, how we want to be spending our energy and time. And then that leads on to the reclaiming stage. And that's when we have to go a bit deeper. And I remember for me, I was just like, oh, you know, there was some work that I did and is ongoing in my reclaiming stage. And it was just like, jeepers, I should have done this, you know, before. You know, I'm a life coach. Surely I should have had this sorted out. But actually, we need to do a fair bit in the reconnecting stage first. Because if I'd tried to do this piece of work around my burden of shame first, jeepers, you know, I would have had no tools, no understanding. And the reconnecting stage really helps us to give us some of that grounding in who we are. You know, it really can help provide that anchor so that, yeah, you know, we can sort of move forward from there. And when I was doing some of the reclaiming stage, it meant that I had somewhere to come back to, you know, somewhere that, as I say, anchored me to kind of then go for the deep dive, if you want to take the sort of boating expression. And yeah, it would have been very hard if I hadn't, you know, to do the deep dive without the anchor in place. So I've been able to sit with that one and forgive myself for not having it all sorted out before I'd even started. So the reclaiming stage, it can be twofold. Some of it will be pretty hefty, and there'll be parts of us that we don't really want to bring into the light. And yeah, it can, again, feel confronting and uncomfortable. But again, when we can allow it to come up and move through and different ways of doing that, then again, you know, we're actually coming back to ourselves. And then also the yummy part of reclaiming the parts of us that maybe have gone by the wayside. Maybe it is the creative side that we haven't been able to do, or maybe it's a part of us that it's not felt safe to, bring into the light for whatever reason. And so the reclaiming stage is beautiful. And it's also around reclaiming the feminine, and that's for men and women. You know, I often talk about the masculine and the feminine inside of us, and we've all got them. We've all got those two archetypes, and the masculine is the doing and the planning and the action and the lists and logic and such like. And then the feminine is the creative and the flow and the intuition and the wisdom, which is why when I was talking about the resting stage, we absolutely need to have both going on, both happening. And in our masculine world, there really needs to be a focus on bringing that feminine back in. And, you know, not in a shouty feminist way, just in our own personal lives of allowing ourselves that space. And so, yeah, that reclaiming stage is, I love it when people are there and they're allowing themselves to rest, they're allowing themselves to slow down, they're going against, sort of the norm or society's expectations or whatever it might be, because actually they're connecting in with their feminine again. And there was a time recently where a friend and I were trying to catch up and the diaries weren't quite aligning, and I sent her a message. I was like, right, what about 8 o'clock Monday morning? I'll bring the bagels and we'll have breakfast. And she was like, perfect. So travelled over there on Monday morning and toasted the bagels, and she got the tomatoes and the basil out the garden, and we drizzled oil and cracked the pepper over them and boiled the kettle and just had this beautiful, beautiful time together. And it was like, it still makes me smile to think about it, because it was 8 o'clock on a Monday morning where the world is telling me that I should be going to work, getting on with life, doing my job, you know, the type thing, that sort of real mentality. But it was just, actually, no, you know, this is what works for me. I have got the gift of flexibility within a lot of what I do, and I understand that. And you know, it's not a rabbit warren to go down if, like, yeah, Liz, that's great for you, but I got to be at work at 9 o'clock. Totally understand that. A beautiful example of actually how we can go against some of those sort of expectations and masculine ways, or we can find our own ways of doing it. Something I'm super passionate about. So, little sidetrack there. And then the restoring stage. So, again, you know, once we are reclaiming some of the different parts of us, it's also then restoring the balance between them all. You know, sometimes when we have reclaimed a part of us that we haven't been in contact with, we haven't, hasn't been showing up, we can almost be like really then focused on that, and then some of the other areas of life sort of fall by the wayside. So just actually bringing that balance in, you know, that restoring that balance between the masculine and the feminine, restoring that balance between our inner child and our inner adult, you know, allowing ourselves to, you know, recognizing that we absolutely need both. But making sure that there is some balance there. And then the final stage is roots. And roots is very much around that sense of belonging and finding that sense of belonging within ourselves. And I often talk about how it's like planting yourself in a flower pot and really sort of firming those roots up there so that we can actually then take our flower pot with us wherever we go. We can often think of a sense of belonging as to a sense of place, and if we step outside of that, then, you know, we can lose that sense of belonging. But having that sense of belonging with inside of us, with our flower pot, we can take it wherever. And that might be to an event where we're a bit nervous about, but actually we've got that grounded confidence within us. Might be to a new job. It might be on some travels. It might be on a date. You know, wherever it is, we can take that groundedness, the roots, with us, wherever we are. And within that stage on the online platform, it very much talks about the pillars of living an authentic life. And again, just guidelines, ideas that if we go, oh yeah, this authentic life business sounds good, and yeah, I'd love to feel some of those benefits. Okay, so where do I start? And how do I do it? And yeah, actually, although the roots is stage 8, it's a great place to start, because then we can actually sort of start forming and start picturing our destination of where we want to be going and where we want to be heading and how we want to be showing up. And there we have it, the 8 stages of pathway to belonging. And just to reiterate, that although I've sort of talked even in a linear fashion of the next stage and the next stage, you know, yes, some of them do play out one after the other, but honestly, please know that it's like a continuum. We're just up and down that pathway, you know, at different stages of our life with different things going on, and, you know, knowing that there is that root stage, there is that destination, there is that homecoming to our true selves. And yes, we will get disconnected, and yes, we'll get triggered and upset, and yes, stuff will come into our life, and curveballs will come into our life. But we've got tools here now that really can help us get back to our true self, potentially quicker. Potentially we don't stay as long in the red zone, disconnected from our true self, or maybe we don't go there as often. And the more that we can build up the resilience, and the more that we can build up that anchor and that grounding and confidence within our true self, then we really get to live more of an authentic life, and we really do get to show up as the person that we were put on the planet to be. Thank you for listening to this episode of Around the Fire. If you have any questions or thoughts or feedbacks, then I would love to hear from you. Or if you're keen to receive a illustration, a visual of the pathway to belonging, then please head to my website, www.liz-fry.com, or drop me an email, liz@liz-fry.com. Would love to connect.